I want to turn to the book of John, 13th chapter, and get a thought here before we get into what I really have up on my heart. I feel this is a good lead into it. The book of John, the 13th chapter, this chapter here is what we always use to when we do the feet washing part of the ordinance service. This has the ordinance that the Lord gave us in washing one another's feet. Not really going to go into that, but I want us to consider what it says about Jesus right here at the beginning of this chapter. It says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, rise from supper and laid aside his garments." I want to focus in on that third verse for just a few minutes. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. One thing that we can say about God and his wisdom and God and his love in preordaining before the foundation of the world that his son would come here and give his life for us, he sent someone, Jesus, he sent someone here that knew who he was. He knew what he was all about. He didn't question that when he was taken out into the desert and was tempted of the devil. He didn't question who he was, even when the devil said, "If thou be the Son of God," the devil knew who he was too. But the devil likes to put those kind of doubts and thoughts in every one of our minds if he can. But Jesus, it says he knew who he was, that he was come from God and that he went to God. And I'm glad today that Jesus had that in his mind and in his heart. I'm glad that because he knew who he was, the enemy was not able to take advantage of him. He knew that he was the Son of God. He knew what his mission was and his purpose was here on this earth. He knew all those things, and the enemy couldn't bring any doubt. He couldn't cast any shadow or aspersion upon what Jesus was here for, because he knew who he was. And he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. He knew he was going back to God. I like to think that it can be that way for you and I. Once we've given our hearts and lives to the Lord and given ourselves into his hand, I'd like to think that we can know who we are. We can know what we are all about. Because we're going to face that same enemy too, and he's going to try to cast doubts and shadows upon our relationship or our walk with God. And I think I know that it would be a wonderful thing for us to be established in the Lord in such a way that we know what we're all about. We can't let the enemy discourage us and get us down, because we know that we're from God, and we know that if we're faithful, we're going to go to God one of these days when this life is over. And so I think Jesus is a real good example here of what I have on my heart this afternoon. I want to read my text now and considering Jesus for the example here. I want to read my text. It's found in the book of James. James, the first chapter. And I want to begin reading here in James 1:19. And I read some of this because it's just for refreshing to our minds to know what God tells us in His Word. James 1 and 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Whereby lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I like to talk about beholding ourselves for just a little bit. Beholding ourselves. He said, "He that beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But who looks into the perfect law of liberty," or as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, "and we continue therein in the Word of God, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." I wonder sometimes, you know, we sit under the gospel so many times and we, I don't know if we get used to it or what, but I know that we can get careless with it. And as we sit under the sound of the gospel and God is so faithful and so gracious to deal with our hearts, as he's so gracious and folks, the ministers, if they're faithful, they have to pray down the Word of God. They have to pray down just what the Lord knows what every one of us needs. He knows how to encourage you. He knows how to encourage me. Everything that's preached is not going to be for one individual, but the things that are preached is given out to where when you get your little part, they get their little part, we all get our little part and we're encouraged. The thing of it is for you and I not to be forgetful hearers, but to hear what the Word of God says. I remember one time being in Fresno, Brother Paul Phillips got up and preached a little message to us, and he said, "Folks," he said, "how accountable do you feel like that you are to the Word of God?" He said, "Most of us in here has heard the Word go forth hundreds and hundreds of times. And how much of it do we remember? How much of it are we really measured up to? How sensitive are we to the Word of God when it goes forth?" It makes us very accountable sometimes, more than maybe we even realize how accountable that we are. But as we look into the Word of God, it says, "He beholdeth himself." Folks, I want you to consider this afternoon, by the help of the Lord, beholding yourself, looking at yourself into the Word of God. Hearing the Word and actually getting it established into it, and actually getting rooted and grounded into it, actually getting it down into your hearts and sensitive into your minds and thoughts. Folks, it takes more than just listening, but it takes the Spirit for us to be able to hear it and receive it and behold and see who we really are. Jesus knew who He was. Do you know who you are? Do you know how you would handle any and every situation that may come your way in life? We really don't, do we? We think sometimes, well, I've got my act together, as they call it. I've got it all together, and I know that if this happens or that happens, I'm going to do this and do that. But folks, sometimes we get a little caught off guard, and things hit us sometimes that we're not expecting, and it comes on us unawares. And that's why it's so important that as we behold ourselves in the Word of God, the Bible says, Paul says in one place, "Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." Folks, that's beholding yourselves, looking into the Word of God. Not what other people are doing or what other people are saying, but what God has to say for each and every one of us. The Lord wants you and I to keep ourselves. Keep ourselves. He that beholdeth himself, he said he looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. Not just hearing, but doing what the Lord wants us to do in our lives. The Lord wants you and I to be diligent in keeping ourselves pure before Him, doesn't He? He wants us to keep ourselves pure, to keep ourselves in the love of God and being faithful to all that we know and all that we understand. Be faithful at your post of duty, whatever God has called you to, whatever God is calling you for, ever how He's working in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts and in your life, whatever He has ahead for you, God will prepare you if you will behold yourself in the Word of God and in the love of God. He said, again, He beholdeth Himself, but it says He straightway goeth His way and forgetteth what manner of man He was. Now, I suppose that most of us, I know I pretty much do, because I don't really stand in front of a mirror any longer than I have to. But when I make sure that I got the few hairs that I have are laying where I want them to lay, and I get the everything off my face that I want need to have off my face, I pretty much go on about the day and forget what I saw in the mirror that morning. But when it comes to my soul, folks, when it comes to my salvation, how I'm going to act and how I'm going to react as I face the enemy of my soul every day, as I face my life's difficulties and as I face my life's trials, it's important that I behold myself in such a way that I remember when those times come that I'm under duress, that I'm under pressure, when the stress comes my way, that I behold myself and not just be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer of the Word of God. Our objective for every one of us ought to be to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I heard it say it this way one time, and I think it's good counsel. Pray and seek God like the whole thing depended on Him. But let us all work like the whole thing depends on us. Put everything that we have of ourself into this. Not leaving anything out that God inspires upon our hearts and presses upon our minds. Let me say it again. Pray and seek God like the whole thing depended on Him. But let us work like the whole thing depends on us. Because, folks, when it comes to my soul, our souls individually, it depends on you. It depends on you. Husband can't answer for the wife. Wife can't answer for the husband. It depends on us individually. So he said here, he beholdeth himself, and then he goes this way. Lord, help us today to never take the Word of God for granted, to never take His dealings with our hearts, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon our souls, never take any of those things for granted, because we're going to need that somewhere down the line. Somewhere down, you may not need it today, may not need it tomorrow, but somewhere down the line, you're going to need that, and the Lord's trying to prepare us for that days that are before us. Beholding yourselves. Well, we have a frailty, every one of us. We have a human frailty that every one of us seems to have a problem with, and that is that we behold others more than we do ourselves. We like to look at others, and we like to check them out, see what their failures, see what their faults are. It's a natural frailty of man to do those things, to see what others are doing. You ever go down the highway? Wife and I just did that not long ago. Going down the highway, I could look up there and I could see there was blue lights flashing. I could see there was an accident. And I don't know what all happened and went on. There were two or three vehicles when I got up there that were involved. And two lanes. I'm on a two-lane highway, and we're stopped. And I'm wondering, you know, when I get up there, where's this accident and what's it going to be? The whole accident was on the other side of the road. On the other side of the highway. There wasn't nothing in our lanes, nothing. No part of the accident, none of the emergency vehicles went our lane. But people are always interested in what's going on with somebody else. We call that rubbernecking, don't we? We all go down a highway and we're stopped because of an accident on the other side because people don't want to just keep on going and minding their own, but they want to see what happened. We're curious. We're curious people. But James here said, behold yourselves. Beholding yourselves. Looking to yourselves. If we're not careful, folks, you and I, and this goes for me, it goes for every one of us. If we're not careful, and we begin beholding everybody else, we can start looking at others with a critical eye. The enemy sees to that, see. We start looking at other people and we start considering their faults and their weaknesses and those kind of things. When I have my own faults, I have my own weaknesses. He says, beholding yourself. And all I really want to do this afternoon by the help of the Lord is to inspire us just to look at ourselves. Keep the searchlight inward upon yourselves. We have to live with one another. That's true. We have, and we're all made up different, aren't we? We all see things differently. We think differently. We observe things differently. Sometimes, as the old brother said, if everybody would just do everything the way that I want them to do, it'd be real easy for me to stay saved. But it ain't going to work that way, is it? It isn't going to work that way. Everybody's not going to do everything the way that you would do it or the way you think that ought to be done. Don't look at others. Looking at their faults, Jesus told us that we had to get the beam out of our own eye, didn't he? Before we start looking at others and their motes that are in their eye. Do you know, the fact of it is, and I say the fact of it is, I found it to be true. We can do more good of setting others straight by keeping ourselves straight. And just setting a good example. You know, I remember, I think I told this here one time, I heard on the radio, an old radio preacher said that he had preached a message and he was encouraging the people to find out what the Lord wanted them to do. And he said after the message, one of the sisters come up to him and said, Pastor said, I've been praying about it and I know just what the Lord wants me to do. And he said, what's that? She said, that's keep the pastor straight. He says, I think you better go back and pray some more. The Lord didn't call you to keep me straight. He didn't call me to keep you straight either. Paul exhorted Timothy, you preach the word. You be in instant, in season and out of season. I'm not here to try to keep anybody straight. I'm not here to mind anybody else's business. Your business is your business. And whatever you do in your business, and if you can do it with a clear conscience and clear before God, that's between you and God and it ain't any of my business. Sometimes we get to thinking that what other people are doing is our business. And it really isn't. It's when I get involved in other people's business is when I get in trouble. When I get involved in other people's business, because they're thinking some one way and I'm thinking another. I'm thinking they're going to do this and they're going to go ahead and do something different. Folks, we can't live life that way. Beholding yourselves as we look into the perfect law of liberty. As we walk in this holy way before God, as we live humbly and soberly and righteous before God in this present world, just take care of yourself. And God will take care of everything else. Believe that? I believe He will, folks. Sometimes When we begin to look at others, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. It won't be the first time that I'm wrong, but I don't think this is wrong. Sometimes we get the idea when we're looking at others that they just aren't doing good. They just ain't doing things just the way that they ought to do it. And the fact of it is, they're doing the very best that they know how to do. You know that? Sometimes when we look at others, we want to measure them by us. We want to measure their life by our conscience. They want to measure them by the understanding that we have. We don't all have a same level of understanding. And sometimes we look at folks and we see them struggling and say they're not doing good and they're doing the best that they know how. What they really need is me to be a good example before them, that they can look at someone and be encouraged and realize that's a challenge to me. Their life is a challenge to me. And I want to be just like them. I want to be faithful just like them. I want to live just like that. But folks, by running people down, you don't build yourself up. Some people get the idea when you run others down, you're building yourself up. Don't work that way. Sometimes people just need someone to show them how to do better, to be an example, to set a good example before them. Lord, help us that we'll be good examples. Beholding himself, he looketh into the perfect law of liberty. He looketh into the word of God and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. But you know what? And there's nothing wrong with this. We look forward every week, come to service on Sunday morning, have a worship together, fellowship together. They say, well, it's time for the word, and we're looking to hear the word of God, and we want to be blessed. We want to be challenged. We want whatever God wants. But folks, we ought to hold on to this perfect law of liberty. You know, I don't want to prove it in my own life, and I don't want you to prove it in your life. But we really ought to be able to live from week to week. Maybe miss a message now and then. We ought to be able to and continue to be faithful. Continuing therein, being not a forgetful hearer. May the Lord bless us today. Do you know my relationship with Christ has a great bearing on the relationship of the church with Christ? Think about that. You and I are part of the church, aren't we? Each one of us, we're the church. My relationship with Christ, how I receive his word, how I receive his admonition, how I receive his comfort, his strength, goes a great deal far in the relationship of the church with Christ himself. Because we all have that responsibility. We all have that responsibility. It doesn't just fall on the shoulders of the leaders. It falls on every one of us. Your relationship with Christ is important. Your example before others is important. How you behold yourself, folks, not just in the church services, not just on Sunday and Wednesday, but every day of the week and wherever you go and whatever you do, how you behold yourself. You've been looking into the perfect law of liberty. Are you conducting yourselves in that way? That you can be an example and an ambassador for Christ, as Paul said, that others can see Jesus in you. Oh, especially when things aren't going right. Especially when you're under pressure, duress or stress. Especially when you're tired. I know we are human and we give in to things like that sometime, but Lord, help us today. Beholding ourselves, Jesus knew who he was. He knew where he came from. He knew where he was going. And because he knew that, the devil had no power over him. The devil had no authority over him. He was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You and I are children of God. We're saints of God today. How are you going to get to heaven, folks? Jesus said, you must be born again, didn't he? To be born again. That's how we're going to get to heaven. We're born into this thing through the blood of Jesus, through the Spirit of Christ. We're like the old rooster going out in a lot early in the morning. We got something to crow about. We got something to crow about. Because Jesus was faithful and he knew who he was. And he give that to you and I. We got something to crow about. We got something to let people know that there's something special here. Something special that's blessing my soul. That's keeping me from day to day. That's helping me not let those things that are so discouraging out in the world, from our government and our country and all down through into our society, all around us. Folks, we got something to be happy about. Something that we can stand on. And we can continue therein and be strong that's in the grace that's in Christ Jesus today. I'm thankful for that. I appreciate God's love. I want to move on to another scripture, Ephesians, 5th chapter. I'm sure we're all familiar with this. Let's get familiar with it again. Ephesians 5:1 says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Are you following God as a dear child? Are we following Him as dear children today? Have you beheld yourself into the perfect law of liberty? Are you continuing therein? Are you continuing to follow Him? To walk in all the understanding and the light that God has shined on your pathway? Are you still living sober, righteous, and godly in this present world? Be followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ gave His life and gave Himself to the Father for a sweet-smelling savor. But He says here, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. The Word of God is challenging, isn't it? Folks, this brings it down mighty close. These aren't my words. These are the Apostle Paul's words. Filthiness, foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Our relationship goes back to what I just said. Our relationship with our soul in Christ has all the bearing of the relationship between the church and Christ Himself. You and I represent the church, don't we? We represent that kind of relationship. Now there's other things that admonition that he gives here, but I want to go down to stay with the thought of beholding myself. It says here in the verse 22, I haven't used these scriptures for a long time. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. First, before I read any farther, it says, wives, submit yourselves. I want to propose to you this afternoon that submitting is hard for every one of us. We all have a sense of self, for lack of a better word, self-pride. We all have a sense that we are somebody worth something. Submitting to someone else including God. Folks, when our little children today, that's part of the real sad thing that we see in society today, because our little children aren't taught at home. They aren't learning at home. When they grow older and God begins to deal with them, they are going to have a hard time in dealing with God and submitting to His will in their hearts and in their lives. But He said here, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself. Beholding, folks, beholding yourself, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, nor any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. I still like that song that they used to sing around here, God's still working on me. He's still working on the blemishes. He's still working on the wrinkles. I had someone tell me one time these were sins. But folks, He's talking about the church. There is no sin in the church. These are human imperfections that God will work out, folks, when He's finished. Listen to me. When God is finished working on your imperfections or my imperfections, when He's finished and we've completed the course, He's going to take us home to glory. He's going to take us home to glory. He's going to require what only what God requires from you is all that you have to give. It isn't what the preacher requires, because it doesn't matter. It's what God requires out of each and every one of us. Once we have given that to Him, submitting ourselves to Him, that He might present the church a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be holy without blemish. Beholding yourselves. Jesus knew who He was. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're a part of today? This glorious institution, the church of God. What a blessed privilege it is. And the only way we can is to be born into, isn't it? Being born from above, born into the church. Then He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord does the church. The Lord's continually nourishing, cherishing His church. I love that old thought. There was an old preacher years ago. He got a lot of people coming to him, asking him to pray for him and all those kind of things. A lot of prayer requests coming in. I've learned a little bit about that. But he told one sister, says, sister says, brother, I got this and I got that. And he says, well, you just stay saved, because I pray for all the saints. You know, that sounded like a little hard. Like he was just kind of shrugging her off. But folks, stay saved. That's your responsibility. The preacher's responsibility is to stay saved too. But he said, I pray for all the saints. Folks, I don't want to go there. I spend a lot of time through the day praying for the saints. A lot of the day praying for the saints. There isn't anyone in this room that I don't mention your name before God every day. Every day. I spend a lot of time. He said here, but He nourisheth it and cheereth it, even as the Lord does the church. Now I think about the wife and the husband, the bride and the bridegroom. Folks, we're joined to Christ. You and I are joined to Christ through salvation. Beulah, Is not this the land of Beulah? We're married, aren't we? We're married to Christ. We're no more two, but we're one in the same spirit. We have the spirit of Christ in us. We're no more two, like the man and the woman. They're no more twain, but one flesh. We're no more twain, but one in Jesus Christ. The plan of salvation is our wedding, folks. It's our wedding. It's our wedding. Now you take a literal wedding. I remember I had two daughters get married. And I watched them kind of back, sitting back a little bit, watching them, preparing. Do you know on the day of their wedding, they was only interested in one person and what they looked like? That bride that was getting, preparing herself for her husband, she was only interested in one person and what they looked like. She wasn't interested in what anybody looked like that was sitting down there in the pews that came to her wedding. She was only interested in one person, and that was herself. And that's what you and I need to be interested in. Beholding ourselves. Not beholding those that are sitting beside us in the pews, those that we think need this and those that we think that need that, but only looking to one person, and that is ourselves. Beholding ourselves, as James says. She wasn't concerned. My daughters weren't concerned about what I look like. They didn't pay much attention to what their mother looked like. They was interested in what they looked like. They was interested in that ceremony being and everything being in place and being just the way that they wanted it done. Folks, that's the way it is with you and I and Jesus Christ. We are the bride, He is the groom, and we need to behold ourselves, not to be looking on others and being interested or concerned of what others are doing. We need to behold ourselves. We're the ones that need to be orderly and be dressed properly. We're the ones that need to be dressed properly, folks, to have on the robe of righteousness. We're the ones that need to be dressed with those kind of things. I can't, as the song says, I can't help what others do. I can't make anybody do anything. You can't make anybody do anything either. But folks, you have responsibility and authority over self by the grace of God. You're beholding yourself in this mirror, in the Word of God, as you go forth. We need to take it with us and dress ourselves appropriately. Folks, it's wrong. It's wrong for you and I to look into the Word of God to see how someone else looks. I'm not looking in the mirror for you. I'm looking in the mirror for me. May the Lord help us. Keep the focus here. Keep the focus on you. You're the one to be held responsible. When I get to the judgment, I'm not accountable for anything you do. I'm really not. If you hurt me, if you offend me, if I carry sorrow because of you, I'm not responsible for anything you do. But I'm responsible for how I handle those things, aren't I? I'm responsible for how I carry those kind of things. May the Lord bless today. I feel like I've gotten the message of my burden across. I want to look at another little verse of scripture. It's hid away over here in 3 John. 3 John, the 8th verse. That's not it. 2 John, let's try that one. 2 John, the 8th verse. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought, but that we shall receive a full reward. He put the responsibility on us, didn't he? The responsibility is on us. Well, folks, I'm not going to stand here and say, or I am going to stand here and say, if you see something that I place where I may be coming up short or where I need help, I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for your encouragement. Not destructive criticism, but instructive criticism, if you want to call it that. We're here to be a blessing and a help to one another. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things that we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now in closing, I want us to think about someone in the Bible, and I'm not going to take time to read all this, but I want us to consider the little woman that came humbly, submissively, with a little alabaster box. And she carried it to the Lord. And as the Lord was sitting there, she took that alabaster box and she broke it. Lord, help us today. We're not going to get to heaven if we don't stay humble and tender and pliable before the Lord. Because to this man will I look, to him that is of a broken and a contrite heart. She took this alabaster box, and it had some very expensive, the Bible calls it spikenard, very expensive oil. A fragrant that cost a lot of money. I forget now that just a few drops, just a drop or two of this was very, very expensive. And she took that box. And folks, the lesson here is that box is our hearts. Our hearts. And we carry in our hearts something very special. Something, you can't put a price on it. Something very valuable. And that's called the love of God. That's what it's called. The love of God. And folks, when you read the story, when she broke the box, she just didn't put a few drops on him. She poured the whole thing upon her Savior. That is the love and divine love and desire that I need to have for my Lord and my Savior as I look into the perfect law of liberty. That Lord, that I will open up my whole heart and pour it all out before you at your feet and worship you and praise you and honor you and call you blessed. She did that. She didn't just put a few drops. But she broke the box and she poured all. A broken box, folks, symbol of a broken heart. A broken and a contrite heart before God. He requires brokenness. And he wants our hearts broken one toward another. And there's no big eyes and little U's. There isn't anyone in here any better than anyone else. We're all equal in God's eyes. You can let the devil try to build you up, make you feel like you're really important if you want to, but you're not beholding yourself the way God wants you to behold yourself. To see that you and I are all the same in the sight of God. To see that he died for you and he died for me and he died for every one of us. Apostle Paul, in expressing his love to the church at Corinthians, he said, ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. You're in our hearts to live and to die and to live with you. Folks, how big is our heart today? Can we invite those around us? Can we invite the brethren in? with all their needs, with all of their imperfections. Don't ever get the idea that they're the only ones have imperfections, because you're not beholden yourself if you don't realize you got your imperfections too. Can we invite with that love that Paul was talking about in our hearts to die and to live with you? Can we invite them in? Can we invite the brethren in? Can we break the seal? And can we be flooded and filled with the divine love of God in our hearts, in our souls, that we can reach out to others, that we can be a blessing and a help to others and an encouragement to others? Beholding yourself. Jesus knew who he was, folks. He knew right well who he was. Do we know who we are today? The Lord's looking down on us. He sees it all. He understands you better than you understand yourself. And folks, take heed and behold yourself. Not just to be hearers, but to be doers of the Word of God. Folks, this is a challenge to me. It's a real challenge to me. And I desire your prayers that I'll be faithful. Pray for me.